Information, please. For the American Armed Forces and their allies, a special rebroadcast featuring the experts. And here to ask the questions is the well-known writer and literary critic, Clifton Fadiman.
Ladies and gentlemen, tonight, Information Please, spontaneous and unrehearsed as ever, is happy to be broadcasting from Massey Hall in Toronto, Canada. Our experts tonight include our three regulars, John Kieran of the New York Sun, the pianist and composer Oscar Levant, and the one and only Franklin P. Adams. It's only fitting that our guest should be a distinguished Canadian. He is Mr. Lester B. Pearson, Minister-Counselor of the Canadian Embassy in Washington, D.C. Can you name, now listen to this phrasing carefully, can you name a state legislature in which two languages are spoken? A state legislature in which two languages are spoken. Now, be careful of your answer. Mr. Pearson.
Louisiana, French and English.
I don't know whether French and English are legal, both legal in Louisiana. Of course, they do speak a great deal of French. I have another answer down here, Mr. Kieran.
Well, do you call Quebec a state?
No, I do not. Mr. Levant? Mr. Levant?
Is it in this hemisphere?
Yes, indeed.
In the...
We can't, of course, it's a half-hour program. We can't work that elimination. Mr. Adams?
Might be New Mexico.
It is. Why didn't you say that before, Mr. Adams? That coyness of yours is going to cost us money. Yes, in New Mexico, English and Spanish are both quite legal in the state legislature. Now, that may be true in Louisiana, too, Mr. Pearson. I may be in error there. Now, how about giving us a national legislature in which two languages are spoken? Mr. Pearson.
The Canadian House of Commons.
Yes, in Canada, both English and French.
English and French.
Yes, quite right. Now, how about giving us a national legislature again in which three languages are spoken? Mr. Pearson's hand.
Switzerland.
Switzerland. What languages do they speak there?
French, German, and Italian. Or a romance version of Italian.
Yes, and apparently get along quite well. Using the three languages. Well, that gives us at least two out of three. Thank you very much, Mr. Pearson. Now, gentlemen, on the next one, I should like to get a perfect response in deference to our good friend and neighbor. This question comes from Ontario, Canada. It was thought up by Mr. Patrick O'Donohue, and he wants you to name a Canadian who became an American cabinet member. A Canadian who became an American cabinet member. Mr. Pearson again.
I think it was Franklin K. Lane who became Secretary of the Interior in Wilson's cabinet.
That's quite right, Mr. Pearson. Very good. Yes, Mr. Lane was born at Prince Edward Island, Canada, and came to California at the age of 7, which is the age at which a good many Californians... As a matter of fact, Mr. Levant, wouldn't you say that the age of 7 is a fine age to which to come to California?
Well, that's when Hoover went there.
An ambiguous response. Can you name a Canadian gentleman who became a British cabinet member? Ah, we have several hands. Mr. Adams?
Mr. Churchill.
Now, it may be that Mr. Churchill would have been proud of being a Canadian, but he was not originally
Lady
one.
Lady Astor came from Virginia.
Who did?
Lady Astor came from Virginia.
Well, I want a Canadian.
I thought you wanted a Virginian. I'm sorry.
No, I wanted a Canadian. Mr. Kieran.
Oh, Beaverbrook.
Mr. Kieran?
He got ahead of me.
I'm sorry.
Yes, Lord Beaverbrook, who was born in New Brunswick.
Gee,
Mr. Pearson, do you know Lord Beaverbrook's present title in the British government?
He's Minister of Portfolio, I think. Don't they call him Lord President of the Council?
Well, I don't know. I think he's Lord Privy Seal.
Lord Privy Seal.
I may be in error there.
They call him the Beaver.
He has no portfolio, anyway, in the cabinet.
Well, we have one right on that and one wrong. Now we have to get the next one right. A Canadian who became a 3-star general in the United States Army. Again, I have Mr. Pearson's hand.
That might be General Kenny, who's in charge of the Air Force under MacArthur in the Pacific.
Yes, Lieutenant General George C. Kenny. Very good, Mr. Pearson. This question proves to us that no matter where Canadians go, they inevitably rise to the top. That gives us 2 out of 3. How about this one, gentlemen, from Ross Cuthbert of Windsor, Ontario, Canada. Can you quote 3 lines... a verse or song that give the nicknames of various big league ball teams? All you have to think of is, well, Mr. Kieran?
The Yanks are coming. The Yanks are coming.
Good enough.
Over there, George M. Cohen.
That gives us the Yanks. Now we have to get two more big league teams. Mr. Levant.
When the Red, Red Robin comes bob, bob, bobbing along.
The Robins?
Reds.
Oh, the Reds. Mr. Kieran, in my day, there were Robins one time, weren't there?
Yeah.
Call Mr.
Brooklyn.
Under Wilbert Robinson?
Yeah, Robin.
Yeah, it was a long time. It was before your time, Mr.
No, it wasn't.
Mr. Pearson?
I was going to use the same words for the Brooklyn Robins.
Oh, you're...
But
you're
that's, I'm a little
that's
late
my generation,
that.
Mr. Pearson. Mr. Adams, Mr. Kieran?
Well, the poor Indian, whose untutored mind, that's Cleveland Indian.
Yeah. That gives us, Mr. Kieran, Mr. Levant?
Lay your cards on the table.
It's a phrase, but not a line of verse or song. Mr. Kieran again.
Tiger, tiger, burning bright.
That's a beautiful
Detroit.
One. Yes.
William tiger Blake. Rag.
That
tiger.
Gives us four or five. Where in fact or fiction would you find the following towers mentioned? Here are three famous towers. From the first tower, a scientific theory was established. I have Mr. Kieran's hand at once on that.
Leaning Tower of Pisa, Galileo's experiment on falling bodies, and I think perhaps he might have tried the pendulum from there, too. But the falling body in particular...
Yes, and what did he establish?
Speed,
what did he establish,
that, that the weight of a body has no relation to the speed with which it falls.
Yes.
A light body or a small body will fall just as fast as a large or a heavy body.
Mr. Kieran, how do you explain the fact that no one ever thought of doing that before Galileo? Seems that somebody would have thought of it.
I can't answer.
What's human nature, I guess. How about this one? In this tower, an explorer began a history of the world. Mr. Pearson.
Raleigh in the Tower of London when he was imprisoned there?
Yes, that's quite right, Mr. Pearson. Have you... it was unfinished, I believe, that history of the world.
He lost his head before he finished it.
And this tower, gentlemen, was the rendezvous... for a love affair. Where would you find that? A tower which was a rendezvous, Mr. Levant.
The Empire Tower Building?
That's quite right. In what, where would
love
you find
Love Story,
it?
With Charles Boyer and Irene Dunne, I think.
That's the one, yes.
I was only kidding about the Empire.
No, but I wasn't. That's the answer. Why don't you learn to take credit for your intelligence gracefully, Mr. Levant?
It's that adverb that gets me, gracefully.
There's another tower which was the rendezvous for a love affair, rather more classical.
Oh,
Mr.
Pierre?
Adams?
Two on a Tower.
By Hardy? I never read it. Is there... do the lovers
certainly
meet?
Certainly is. There's two.
Sounds right to me, yeah. Also in the story of Rapunzel and the girl who let down her golden hair for her lover to climb up on, that might be one off.
Pelias Melis on, isn't it?
I think he just kissed the hair. He didn't climb up on it in Pelias Melis. How about this one from L.A. Riggs of Providence, Rhode Island? Again, get two out of three. Who painted a famous picture, gentlemen, of a Turkish bath? Picture of a Turkish bath. I see you do not know.
We're sweating.
I can't sweat it out of you either. Well, it was the famous French painter, Ingres, I-N-G-R-E-S. Does that come back to you, Mr. Kieran? In your museum, visiting, have you ever seen it by any chance?
No, I haven't seen the original. I don't know that it's in this country.
Well, Ingres did make a picture of a Turkish bath. And how about one who painted a famous picture of Susanna bathing? Susanna bathing. Mr. Kieran.
Didn't Rembrandt do
that? That's quite right. Very good, Mr. Kieran. Rembrandt. Susanna at the bath. It was a subject which for some reason attracted other full-blooded painters. Tintoretto and Van Dyck also painted the same picture. How about one who painted a picture of a girl wading?
Wading?
Wading. W-A-D-I-N-G. Mr. Adams.
That was the gentleman who drew September Morn.
Yes, it was. Quite right. I see that sticks in your memory, Mr. Adams. And what was the name of the painter? Do you remember, Mr. Adams? Mr. Kieran?
Paul Chabat.
Yes.
C-H-A-B-A-S.
Yes. Not very many people remember his name, although a good many people remember the subject. How about this one from Betty B. Winston of Richmond, Virginia? Where in fiction or in the theater are the following gifts made? A newborn baby receives a silver tobacco box, a Bible, and a golden spur as gifts.
Is that tax-free?
In those days, it was tax-free, yeah. Mr. Adams, does that come back to you? I know it's one of your favorite authors.
What is it?
You'd like me to read it again?
Read it again.
All right. A newborn baby receives as gifts a silver tobacco box, a Bible, and a golden spur.
No, that I don't know.
Well, you say that very positively, Mr. Adams. I'm inclined to believe you. It's in The Luck of Roaring Camp by Bret Hart. Now, does that come back to you, Mr. Adams?
Yes, it does.
Just a little too late. Now, how about this one? An author receives a gift of 10,000 cockroaches. Where? In Mr. Levant.
Alexander Wolcott's character, Sheridan Whiteside, in The Man Who Came to Dinner.
Yes, that's one of the peculiar gifts he receives in the second act, isn't it?
Well, he was very generous as a host. He spread them around.
And where do you find the case of a strong man receiving a girdle as a gift? Mr. Kieran.
Hercules got it from the Queen of the Amazon.
Yes.
That was one of his labors.
Well, if you call it work.
Well, yes.
Yes, one of the 12 labors was to obtain the girdle of Hippolyta, and Hercules did so. Mr. Alivant?
He'd have a harder time getting it now with the rubber shortage.
Try this one, gentlemen, from Mary Blue of New York City. Which of the conferences between Roosevelt and Churchill was also attended by General Charles de Gaulle? Mr. Pearson?
The one at Casablanca.
One at Casablanca. I wonder whether you could give us the dates. It's a good thing to remember, if we possibly can. Mr. Kieran, could you give us approximate dates? Well, January 12th.
Autumn of 1942?
No, it was January 14th to 24th, 1943, as I recollect it. Now, how about a conference, again, between Roosevelt and Churchill, that was also attended by Chiang Kai-shek? We have to get all of these right. Chiang Kai-shek, Mr. Kieran.
Chiang Kai-shek, that was in Cairo.
Cairo was quite right, November 22nd to 26th, again in 1943. And which one was also attended by General Wingate? Mr. Pearson.
The one at Quebec.
Yes, one at Quebec, right up here in Canada. General Wingate was... Could you identify him for us, Mr. Pearson?
Yes, General Wingate was in charge of the... special force in Burma, the commandos.
Yes.
Came to such an untimely end a few
Yes, he ago. Was recently killed in an air crash on the Burma front. And now, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to go on with a question from D.P. Karn of Austin, Minnesota. And again, this will be a musical question. We're going to play some music that should suggest two bordering countries. In other words, there'll be three sets of two pieces of music. And each set of two pieces of music should suggest to you two bordering countries. You name the countries and also identify the music, and we have to get all right on this. Mr. Adams, is that clear?
That's clear, but it's troublesome.
It's going to be tough. All right, two excerpts. Mr. Levant?
One is the first one is Switzerland, William Tell, by Rossini.
Quite right.
And I know the second one, and it's troublesome.
It is troublesome. You see, it troubles you as well as Mr. It is a tough one. How about helping Mr. Levant out? I'll give you credit on this, gentlemen, if you can guess it. Mr. Adams, you're generally rather good at this sort of thing.
France.
No, that would be wrong.
Well, borders on it.
Still, I like the way you say it. Now, Italy is the answer. It's Tchaikovsky's Italian Caprice. Is that
dear.
I'm sure you knew it, Oscar, but we'll have to call it wrong nevertheless. Now the second set of two excerpts. Now that should suggest, and does suggest to Mr. Levant, two neighboring
Spain
countries.
Spain and France.
Yeah. How do you demonstrate that?
The first one is the Farruca, or Miller's Dance, by Defia from the Three-Cornered Hat.
That's right.
I play that piece very well myself.
And the second, Mr. Levant?
The second is, I think, the French Suite by Bach.
Yes. Do you play that very well, too?
I don't play it at all.
Well, that's something.
I play the English suite.
How about the third and last set now, gentlemen? A hand and a half. Mr. Pearson's hand is really a half a hand.
Well, that ought to be counted in the United States.
It is quite right. That's very, very good.
The first piece is from Rose Marie. The second one I know nothing about.
He's off to Buffalo.
Shuffle off to Buffalo, which gives us the United States. That's quite right. How about this one from Rosemary R. Rome of Fort Wayne, Indiana? Again, I think we should get all on this, gentlemen. If I give you the first person to hold a certain position, who was the last person, or the latest one, to hold it, and what was the position? Now, the first is Peter Minuit. He held a certain position, Mr. Curran?
Yes, LaGuardia holds it now.
Well, that's one way of putting it. What position did he hold?
Well, he was the head of New York.
Was he a mayor, Mr.
Well, Allen? He was a governor, but it still was only Manhattan that he was governor of.
There's something in that.
Well, there's a good deal in it.
He was the last Dutch governor of the Netherlands,
Amsterdam. Mr. T. Dewey, Governor Dewey.
Mr. Minuit was not governor of Fort Orange.
Well, I think that it would be more correct to say that Peter Stuyvesant was the last Dutch governor, rather than Mr. Dewey or Mr. LaGuardia. That position, of course, last.
You're wrong. Franklin Delano Roosevelt was the last Dutch governor of New York.
That's true enough in a different way. No, I think Peter Stuyvesant would be the right answer on that, gentlemen. Now, how about this one? If the first person to hold the position was Catherine of Aragon, who was the last to hold that position, Mr. Levant?
Well, whoever she was married to Henry VIII.
Yes. But we have to get the name.
Catherine Parr, the present queen, I would
say. Oh, no. Gentlemen, you misunderstand this question, or I'm explaining it poorly. Catherine Parr is the answer.
I said it, Catherine Parr.
I give you full credit for it.
After all, I saw that picture many times.
Catherine was Queen of England.
Yes, well, I'm thinking of the position that Catherine of Aragon held as one of the wives of Henry VIII. How many wives, Mr. Pearson, did Henry VIII have, if not enjoy?
I'm trying to remember. Charles Lawton.
Charles Lawton just had one,
Mr. Levant?
He had six.
Six, yes.
Yeah.
And Catherine Parr was his sixth and last. Chaucer was the first person to hold a certain position. Who was the latest or last, Mr. Curran?
Well, I don't think so.
I'm doing well on this question.
Do you mean poet laureate?
I do.
I don't think so. Ben Jonson was the first poet laureate of England, appointed in 1617. John Masefield is now the poet laureate. But I think it's on the record that Ben Jonson is the first poet laureate of England.
You mean he was the first one to receive a reward for it?
The first one to receive the title. Yes, and an allowance of ale, too, by the way.
Yes, I think a barrel of herrings, too, as a matter of fact. Mr. Adams, can you help us out on this?
No, I thought Chaucer had it first.
Well, I wish you would come in first.
Then we'd better tear up the encyclopedias.
Maybe I better tear up my card. Well, we did get the first one wrong on that. Try this one now for Mrs. Norma Franks of San Antonio, Texas. Who or what else is mentioned in the lines that include these items? I'm going to give you a list of items, and those occur in a certain line of poetry, or lines of poetry, that also mentions other items. Name them. Let's get 2 out of 3 on this. Beans, oats, peas. Beans, oats, peas. And in that, Mr. Adams.
And barley.
That's quite right, Mr. Adams.
No.
What are you quoting from?
Kind of a nursery rhyme, a little song.
Yes, yes. Can you or I or anyone know how oats, peas, beans, and barley grow? Very good. Now, here's another set of items. Russian, French, Prussian. What other items, Mr. Adams, are mentioned?
Or perhaps Italian.
That's one. Are there any others that are mentioned in the lines in which those nations are mentioned? Mr. Pearson, you had your hand
French.
Up, too. Yes. French is one that I mentioned, Mr. Adams, so we can't use that.
An Englishman.
An Englishman, an Italian, and a Turk. Turk, Italian, Englishman. He might have been a Russian, a French, or Turk, or Prussian, or perhaps Italian.
And but in spite of all temptations.
To?
Belong to other nations.
He?
He remains an Englishman.
Beautiful. Very good. Pounds and crowns are two items, and in the line, Mr. Adams again.
Guineas.
Guineas is right. Where? What are you quoting from?
Houseman.
And what is the line?
When I was,
1 and 20.
1 and 20, I heard a wise man say.
Yes, give crowns and pounds and guineas, but not your heart away. Gentlemen, see if we can do this one. From Frank O'Brien of Sunnyside, Long Island. Name the star major league players of current or recent years. The first is an outfielder and second baseman from Puerto Rico. Who is that? Mr. Levant.
I don't know if he's a star. His name is Louie Olmo.
Louie Olmo with the Brooklyn Dodgers. And one who is an outfielder who comes from Canada. An outfielder who comes from Canada? Mr. Pearson, you should know that. Mr. Levant?
Mr. Kieran answers again.
Mr. Kieran?
George Selkirk of the Yankees.
Yes.
He's now. Not playing now.
I beg your pardon?
He's not playing now.
No, he's with the armed forces now. I say current or recent years. Now, how about one who is a pitcher coming originally from Venezuela? Mr. Pearson.
Mariscal, who pitches for Washington now.
That's very good. You have a chance to follow the games, Mr.
I try to.
You'll be an ambassador. Yes, that's Alexander Carrasquel, originally of Venezuela. And that's all we'll have time for. Thank you, Mr. Pearson, for the fine hands across the border cooperation.
Information, Please, was presented especially for the American Armed Forces and their allies. Now we present Alfred Wallenstein and the Concert Orchestra.
Thank you.
This is the Armed Forces Radio Service.